B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Yes, it does. Nerd Radio, which you can find all over social media at Nerd Radio 101 with me, Chuck Bean, your host, as well as my co-host returning from their vacation, Mr. Al Beck.
Yes.
And James.
Hello.
How are you guys doing? Are you well rested?
I wish I could say I was, but I could have used like a whole nother month off.
Yeah.
I was going to say I was, but I don't know if that's not carried over anymore. Yeah.
Right.
It's funny how quickly that goes away.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? Even I got a little bit of a break as far as like I didn't have to produce a podcast last week. I didn't have to make sure it was posted or anything like that. But I did miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
There was definitely a sense of what the hell do I do with myself in the moments where I'm usually.
Yeah. Well, you know, when that's a question, away. The answer is usually play, you know, just play with yourself. But.
We know Al's filling his time masturbating.
Right?
It was a long week.
A long week.
At least the week was long. At least there's one long thing involved in that.
Wow. Harsh.
I'm not even mad.
Well, we know Al's known for his girth, not his length. Everybody knows that. That's like a well-known fact.
Yeah, apparently so is Captain America.
Well, Captain America's known for asses and dongs.
Asses and dongs.
So, yeah, we're back, as you can tell, with another week of Nerd Radio, where we're talking about some of the stuff that's happened in the last, 2 weeks now, what we're playing, what we're watching, all that good stuff. I did get take an opportunity last week when we weren't recording the podcast to go on my Twitch and play a little bit of the Avengers and Tony Hawk, which I've had for about 2 weeks now. And I got to say, I'm a little bit happier with Tony Hawk than I am Avengers.
Really?
Okay.
And I think it's because of expectations. I've thought about this a lot because I knew I wanted to bring it in and talk to you guys about it.
Can't wait to lay into Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Tony Hawk is, I think it has a lot to do with expectations. Like my expectations for Tony Hawk were, it's going to be Tony Hawk 1 and 2, but prettier. And it has exceeded all of those expectations. Like you can,
sure.
You can make your own skater, which is cool. You can make your own skate park, which a lot of people have already made crazy stuff. You can go online and play against other people. You can play against, I played against Amy with the graffiti mode and everything, and that's really cool. There's a couple of extra levels that I don't remember from the first two games that are in there, which is really neat. You can set your tricks when you get your special. You can set what the button combination is to hit the trick, which I don't remember that being in the original. The soundtrack is huge. Got a bunch of the old songs and then some new songs in it too. Just it's real. The only bad thing I have to say about Tony Hawk is that it gives me motion sickness, so I can only play it for about 20 minutes at a time. But otherwise, really, really great game. On the other hand, the other game that I got in the same day, Avengers, the single player is great, and that's probably the best thing I can say about it.
Really,
because the multiplayer right now needs a complete overhaul.
I haven't even gotten the multiplayer. I've played the beta. And I haven't progressed far enough into the storyline during campaign mode to get the multiplayer access yet.
See, I like day one because I expected that the multiplayer is essentially the end game of that Avengers. Like once you get to the end of the single player mode, then all you have left is multiplayer. And I'd read online that it was going to be kind of like Destiny, which to me is a first person shooter with a whole bunch of World of Warcraft MMO stuff on top of it. Mm-hmm. Or Warframe is kind of similar.
Okay.
All these vendors that you do quests for, and you get your skill level up in that vendor, and then that vendor has cooler and cooler equipment for you to buy. And I'm like, all right, cool. So right from day one, I logged into the multiplayer, and you could not match make a game, which thankfully it will put computer players in. If if I pick Thor, it'll put a computer Hulk, a computer Iron Man, and a computer Captain America in with me, which is cool. The AI
I know the AI, I think, was really bad in terms of teammates in multiplayer during the beta. So hopefully they tweaked it and got a little bit better.
It's okay, but unless you like sit down with a group that you're like, hey, we're going to play Avengers tonight, and you're all going to meet up and stuff like that. Because I did that on Sunday with Killer Hall for about an hour, and that works out fine. But trying to find people, forget about it. Mm. Just play by yourself. Don't sit there in matchmaking waiting for somebody to log in. Just let the computer players take over.
Well, but I discovered my hatred of Tony Hawk by playing the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 Remastered Edition. I was like, why did I ever enjoy this? I'm skating around this environment trying to find stupid things to grind, stupid things to do one specific trick on. I'm like, I just realized I just wasted like 30 minutes, and all I did is I grinded like five picnic tables. I'm like, this is not for me.
No?
Yeah, so I'm like, I think I'm out of the Tony Hawk game. I made my own skater, but I didn't do any of the multiplayer stuff.
Sure.
Or anything like that. I mean, I might still play it. I was planning on doing some streams.
Yeah.
While playing the game. I got a skateboard helmet and everything to be like,
oh, that's cool.
In costume, you know? But I'm like... Ah, I forgot that I really didn't care for these games. Either that or the times have changed so much.
Yeah.
I just don't find it enjoyable.
That's entirely possible.
You know? It could just be a different person.
Like, I'm like,
you know,
what?
Yeah.
Like, I remember you hit the ramps and you hold down one of the buttons to do a rotation and then you just button mash every other button until you do all these tricks and you stop the rotation right before you hit the ground.
Right.
And I couldn't even make that happen.
Did it scratch at all a nostalgia itch for you?
I didn't really get much of, I mean, I remember playing, you know, some of the levels and stuff, so seeing some of the things and some of the sound effects, but I didn't really get much of a nostalgia, like, sweet. It was more like a nostalgia, like, butt pain, you know? Like, it's like somebody poking you in the side, like, you gotta go grind five picnic tables, James. You gotta go wall ride five school bell. I'm like, why would somebody wall ride a school bell anyways?
To make it ding.
You know? Well, in the game, it dings. But I don't think it's going to make it ding in real life.
No, not at all. No,
I don't even know if you can ollie onto a wall on a wall ride.
In real life, you're going to wipe out if you try and grind a school a bell on the side of a wall.
Yeah. So there's just stuff that I'm like, unattainable scores. And now I remember it always set you up to where you got to go back and keep playing those skate parks as you progress and get to be a better skater.
Right.
Then they make you go back and play those other skate parks to get those high scores. And I'm like, I don't.
That's the part.
Sorry, Tony Hawk.
That's the part I've never been good at is the high score. Like, I will play a level over and over again looking for, like you said, the picnic tables or spelling skate or the secret tape.
There's always
like
one little item that's always hidden in some fancy spot you never think to look.
Right.
You know? I'm like, let's put a picnic table on the roof of this hotel. I'm like, what? Like, why would I even go out of the roof? Like, I'm trying to hit these ramps. I don't know.
See, for me, that's similar to when we used to play Deathmatch Doom, the original Doom.
Yeah.
And you would play through the levels to find all the secrets so that when you played Deathmatch, you could find the stuff and before the other player could hopefully. Yeah. Or sometimes they wouldn't know where a secret is. So you could hide in, you know, behind a door and wait for them to run by and then open the door and blast them.
There you go. The other thing, I can't manual. I cannot manual in Tony Hawk. I never was able to manual in any of those like skating or BMX games.
Right.
I've never been able to manual. And like that's the way to get your high score to continue because you do like a string of tricks and you manual over to the next obstacle and then you do another string of tricks and then you manual over to another one so that the trick never actually ends.
Right.
And then you get that 324 million point high score. I don't know if you saw that.
And it's insane to watch them because it's the very first level of Tony Hawk and they just have this circuit that they grind around and they keep manualing to make sure the trick it, you know, and for, because you've played Tony Hawk, Al.
Yeah, well, I can't remember which one I had, but I had one of them.
But they're all the same.
Right, you understand the basic premise of, like, you get a level and you've got 2 minutes to, like, get as many points as possible kind of thing. And the dude never stops tricking for, like, a minute and 58 seconds.
Hmm.
Just going in this circle around the first level over and over and over again, going in this path because they can keep doing the trick and it's insane to see.
Yeah, but I enjoyed Avengers. Like I said, I'm not far into the game.
Like I said, the single player is fantastic. The writing is really good. Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, is adorable.
Dude, the story's great. This sucks you right in.
Yeah, watching her interact. I'm really, really not pleased with Captain America in that game at all. I haven't gotten in single player to where he is, but with the outfit he's got when you start, I keep referring to as hockey pads Captain America.
Oh, it's like the OG Captain America from like the first one?
You know that scene in The Dark Knight where he yells at the fake Batman, I'm not the one wearing hockey pads.
Oh, yeah.
That's literally, he looks like he's wearing hockey pads with Captain America stuff spray painted on him.
Gotcha.
At the beginning of the game. And I'm like, this looks stupid.
Now, we had somebody in the Twitch stream that said they thought that Avengers was glitchy. Did you guys find that at all?
I've seen it.
You have?
Yeah, I've seen you know, characters like disappear and then come back or, you know, kind of clip through each other and it's kind of silly. I've had to restart a level once or twice because a enemy spawned inside a wall and I couldn't get them.
Oh, I haven't had any of those issues, but like I said, I'm not far into the story. I think I'm just now into the jungle with Camilla.
Oh, okay. So you're not very far at all.
Yeah, I literally... I just got sucked in, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to complete this part, and then I'm going to put her down and come back later.
Right.
And then I was still so involved in the game, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this part. Okay, I'm going to do this part. Okay, I'm going to do this part. And then finally, I was like, okay, here's the jungle. I got to peace out. I got to go to real life stuff now.
After playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 and figuring, you know, finding out that like the multiplayer was a disaster when it came out, and then they completely retooled it, I'm hopeful that that's, you know, the same path the Avengers game will take.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it didn't meet my expectation. But once again, it's like I said, the single player is really good. Mm. Like, I would recommend sitting down and playing it by yourself. Absolutely, 100%.
I will say, listening to both of your differing reviews on both games, Tony Hawk, I'm probably siding with James. Not interested, because I did have one of them before.
Sure.
But I never loved it. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I never loved it. I wasn't excited about this, like, you know, reboot, so to speak. And I have a feeling I'll be just as frustrated as James,
right,
knowing myself. So I don't see myself wasting my time on that. But, and speaking of the Avengers there, if your big complaint is the multiplayer sucks, well, I don't want to do that anyway.
Yeah, you've got nothing to worry about.
So I may have to look into the Avengers.
I think you'd really get a kick out of it. I think there's a lot there to... I'm a little weirded out by some of the voice acting, because the guy who does Bruce Banner's, you know, he doesn't sound like the actor whose name is
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like Mark Ruffalo, but he actually he has the mannerisms of the kind of shy, wounded Mark Ruffalo Bruce Banner that you expect. But then, like, the Tony Stark guy, not even really close to Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I don't think they're even trying to attempt to recreate any of the actors or any of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, Thor. Like, Thor seems to have, like, a bit of an edge to him that I don't, you know.
Yeah, but there's a couple of, like, there's a couple of lines he's got in there that are really, that are kind of funny.
Where, yeah. Well, I've also heard, like, in the comics, so I was talking about Avengers with Robbie Landis from Checkpoint XP. And he was saying, because my complaint about with Thor, with like some of his lines, I'm like, he's too, I don't know, like too much of kind of like a dick, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, Thor's kind of like that in the comics. I was like, oh, okay, so they must be emulating Thor in the comics.
Right.
Not hunky, dreamboat, you know, Chris Hemsworth Thor maybe, before he becomes fat.
Maybe that's why I'm kind of like, about Avengers. It's because Robbie is all about that game.
It's Robbie's fault.
He is all about
it. Oh, no!
He actually, like, he said something about it on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, I don't like this thing about Captain America. And then he just jumped all over me about how it's fantastic and I'm stupid. And I'm like, all right, cool,
probably,
man.
Said
I'm
glad you're too much of a boomer.
Whatever. Good for you. I'm glad you're enjoying your game. Sorry that I'm not, you know, as into it as you are. But this week, we do have a couple of games to look forward to. I know, James, we talked briefly about WWE 2K Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
Is that
this week?
That's this Friday.
I've already pre-ordered it.
Yep.
Pre-ordered it for the Switch. I'm ready to play.
It's $40, which is surprising, as opposed to the $60 you typically pay for a game.
Well, I bought the digital deluxe, so mine was a little bit more.
Sure.
Because I wanted the Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and I think Becky Lynch.
But one of the things that I looked up that I saw on the GameSpot website that I thought was fascinating is it's going to have over 70 characters for you to play at launch, which blows me away, because every time I see a fighting game of any sort and it's got to have like 100 characters in it, all I can think of is like, Street Fighter 2 had 8 people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
I had eight people to choose from, and they were all drastically different from each other. Why in the world do you have 60, 70, 100 fighters in a friggin' fighting game? It's supposed to have 70 characters at launch, and then post-launch, there's going to be 60 more.
What?
That they add to the game.
Oh, wow.
But here's the thing, and this goes back to our Avengers, talking about the Avengers game, because one of the reasons that I don't know about you, but that I jumped on and like, okay, I'm going to buy this game day one, is that they weren't charging you for the extra content.
Mm-hmm.
You were just getting it. And it's the same kind of thing with WWE 2K Battlegrounds. There's going to be wrestler bucks that you earn by playing through the game, just like you do in the 2K games, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be able to get all of those extra wrestlers that they add with all the updates through wrestler bucks. You don't have to spend extra money to get them.
Oh, excellent. That's
it sounds like you'll be able to if you want to just like, here's $20, just give me whoever that is.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. And that's kind of, it's interesting that two major games in the last, you know, 2 months are releasing like that. And like, that seems to be
and also
where
with
it's
the Avengers,
going.
I believe if you bought it for the PS4 and you end up buying the PS5, your game will work. You don't have to rebuy it for the PS5.
When I picked it up at GameStop, they asked me if I wanted to spend the extra, like, I don't know, $20-$30 or something like that, so that, you know, when the PS5 version came out, I could get the updated version. I'm like, no, I'll be good.
I don't think you needed to do that. I think that's like comes with the release, unless it just only works with the downloads. But I believe that was one of the big things Avengers was hyping, It's going to be playable on the PS5. If you buy it, you'll still get it for free on the PS5 if you buy it on the PS4.
Well, to be honest, the place I pre-ordered it to didn't quite know what they were doing anyways, because they were supposed to give me some extra costumes, and they didn't. A little angry about that.
Well, cool. I forgot all about Battlegrounds coming out. I can't wait to play it. I hope it's better than 2K20, because that was a complete disaster.
It looks like it's going to be very arcadey.
Yes, and that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. I want it to be the NBA Jam of a WWE game. That's what I want. Alligators popping out of the ground, and I'm kicking the Undertaker into the swamp and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, it certainly sounds like you're going to get what your expectations are set for. On the Switch side of things, though, what I wanted to bring up is the week, like I think it was last week when we were off, they announced that for Mario's 35th anniversary, they're releasing Super Mario 3D All-Stars. I think anybody who had a Super Nintendo had Super Mario All-Stars, which had the first three Mario games.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Because
you could actually save some of your games.
Yeah.
You could save and then go back and play. It's the only way I was able to beat Super Mario Brothers 2.
Was to save at the different levels? Well, the Super Mario 3D All-Stars for the Switch comes out this Friday, and it's going to have Super Mario 64.
Yes.
It's going to have Super Mario Sunshine, which was on the GameCube, and then Super Mario...
Galaxy.
Thank you. Super Mario Galaxy, which was the one on the Wii. And it's a limited time kind of thing. Like, they're only producing a certain amount of these.
You going to buy one?
Yeah.
I'm getting a copy, too. Just because my fiance is big into, like, those Mario games. And she's like, oh, Mario 64.
Yeah.
I used to play that a lot. I'm like, good. I'll buy it so we can play it. We can go and collect all 120 stars. And,
right.
You know, and then play Mario Kart and Mario Party.
I don't think I ever beat Mario 64.
I mean, I beat Bowser. I never got 120 stars, but I got to Bowser and beat him. Come on, you had to have beat Bowser.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I didn't
get him by the tail and swing him around.
I didn't have a Nintendo 64 like when it was huge.
Oh.
I went over to a friend's house to play GoldenEye or something, but like I didn't. I had a PlayStation 1, and I bought a Sega Saturn, as we've discussed before, so I just didn't get to play.
Yeah, it was a Nintendo 64 guy.
We couldn't all have 3DOs like I did.
Yes, true. Absolutely.
Classic. The 3DO made by Panasonic.
God damn it.
So yeah, that's coming out this Friday, and they announced a bunch of stuff. They did add the original Super Mario All-Stars to the Super Nintendo app on the Switch.
Oh, is it on there?
Yep, it's on there, so now you can play the original Super Mario All-Stars on there.
I might be playing some old school Mario games on my streams from now on.
There you go. They're also in October releasing a thing called Mario Kart Live, which connects to your Switch. It's a remote control car. You can get a Mario or a Luigi along with the software for the Switch that allows you to, like a VR, you can set up the gates.
Like a track, like right in your living room floor.
Yep, and then you can drive the car with your Switch.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can set up a track. I don't know for sure if I'm going to end up buying this, but I'm kind of on the fence. But I would love to buy it and set up my collection of dongers as different points on the racetrack. So as you're watching, you know, your little Mario Kart character race on this track, you just keep driving by all these huge different, like, varieties of dildos. I got an Incredible Hulk one. You know, I got a Canadian one with, like, the maple leaf on it. And you know.
I don't know if Nintendo's ever sent a Twitch stream a cease and desist, but you may be the first.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, right? You know? Take that, Nintendo.
The other thing that they announced, which I think is absolutely fascinating, is a Battle Royale Super Mario game called Super Mario 35. I did some looking on a website, polygon.com. This was actually something somebody on YouTube made. It is a YouTuber named Inferno Plus, where you could have 75 players in a Battle Royale style Super Mario game, and Nintendo sent him a cease and desist, and then stole his idea.
Dirty pool.
We're stealing your idea.
Right. But the idea is that it's Super Mario Brothers 1, and you've got 35 people that all start at the beginning of the level. And the last man standing, you've got one life, the last man standing wins. But every time you step on an enemy or something like that, you send it to somebody else's game.
Nice.
That sounds
like fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about the Battle Royale, like, concept, but I love knowing that I'm going up against all these other people. I'm not a very competitive person in a majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, with these games, I want to win.
Yeah.
So bad. And I'm actually pretty good at Mario, so... I might be looking at a professional pro Battle Royale Mario player here, guys.
Much like playing the Tetris 99 game. I'm interested to see, like, how good am I at Mario?
Yeah, and I realized really very quickly with Tetris 99, I'm not as good at Tetris as what I once assumed I was.
So, yeah, that's going to be a free download on the Switch, and that's supposed to come out in the next month or so.
Favorite price.
Once again, it's only available until March.
Okay, well.
And then they're taking it down, which it seems very strange.
What's going
to
happen in March then?
I don't know.
Something's going to happen in March.
You would imagine. That's what they're leading up to. Al, do you want to switch? Are you a big Mario fan? Are we selling you on it?
The amount of gaming that I do, I would say I'm intrigued. And every so often I'll pull up and see if Switches are still sold out. But then I'm like, what am I going
to
do with it?
They're easier to find now.
Right.
Yeah. I would recommend, because they're going to be coming out with a Switch Pro, I believe, coming in the future. I don't know if it's going to be Christmas time or next year. And that's got 4K compatibility.
Oh, does it? Okay.
So you might want to wait if you're on the fence. But if you just want to play, I'm on the Switch.
Yeah. I mean, if I did want to just play a Switch, I'd get one of the minis or whatever the hell they call them. The Light. Yeah. Thank you. And that crossed my mind, but I was like, nah, I don't know. Like, Mario is the closest I've come to, you know, like actually going and buying one now.
Yeah.
I like the mobile capability of it, but I mean, I guess I could, you know, I'm not playing those Final Fantasies on my phone right now.
That is true. That is true. I forgot to ask you how far along you are in those.
I do think about it every so often, but I don't know. I'm so, like, the interests I have are so fleeting that it's like I might end up just being like, I'll always have a PlayStation. I won't have to wait so long to get the newest version, but like maybe a year into the 5, I'll get a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
You know, and it might take until the 6 comes out before I feel like I got my money's worth.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, right. All right, well, let's take a break. I do have still a whole bunch of gaming news, including all the news about the Xbox Series X that are, or the Series S that's supposed to be coming out. They announced that a week or two ago, and I want to get your guys' take on it because it's much like the Xbox One has a all-digital version. The Series S, I believe, is the all-digital version of the next Xbox. So let's talk about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We recording over there, Al?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to double check. I wasn't sure.
What?
This is Nerd Radio.
What?
Wow.
What?
We're back with more Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network, all in one one place on the internet. Where is that place, Al?
Nerdradio101.com. Money well spent.
Absolutely. Also, we're on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream Wednesday mornings. And where can people find that, James?
You find that over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
Yes, my name is Chuck Bean. Of course, you've already heard the dulcet tones of James and Al Beck. And we're talking about video game stuff. So we've talked very briefly about the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, what is it, the Series X or Series
like
S? Series,
I feel like they got like 12 different letters, like the Series X, the Series Z, the Series
why
S.
Why can't they just be easy like PlayStation and just put a number after everything? Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Microsoft announcing.
Well, they did. They tried that, except it was their third console.
Yeah, they went backwards.
Yeah.
Microsoft announcing that they are doing an Xbox Series S, and that's only going to be $299. It's not going to have a disc drive on it, so it's going to be fully digital.
Hmm.
But the idea that the main one is like $500 or $600, and
yeah,
this one is
whatever the digital one is. If it's $299, I believe it's $200 less than the one that will have the disc drive. So we're looking at $499.
Yeah,
yeah.
$200 is a lot of a huge jump between the digital and the physical copy. I know, James, you're huge on, you like having the physical copies.
I do,
of stuff, but I
would you save the money?
I don't know.
I feel like the reason that's so much cheaper is it kind of eliminates the secondhand market. You know, like you have to buy it from their store if you're going to do it digital. You can't go to the, you know, the disc stores. That,
you can't buy something pre-played, you know.
Right.
The disc resell places.
And especially with the Xbox, it's got the Game Pass thing so that you can essentially, it's, what is it, PlayStation Now is the one that you use on the PlayStation. So there's a whole bunch of games. And there's a bunch of games that the day they release hit Game Pass, which is
fascinating. Well, they also have it set up to where you can easily get it financed.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
And then they're also including, this is what blew my mind, they will give you the Game Pass stuff for free with whatever you're paying and your monthly payment to finance the system. So it's like $35 a month for however long.
Right.
You pay the $35. That covers your payment on the game and the system to where you eventually own it.
Yeah.
But it also gives you access to your Xbox Live and the Game Pass and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which makes me almost wonder, like, what if I came in and just dropped my credit card down? I was like, I'm going to finance me a $4.99 new Xbox Series X.
Right.
Do I then have to pay the monthly fee to get the Game Pass? Because I feel like I'm buying the system flat out, I'm not using your finance services or whatever they have offered. I should be able to get access to all that for the same amount of time or whatever the finance terms are. That's just me personally.
No, I think I follow that logic.
You know?
I think you're right.
Like, why am I being almost, not ripped off, but why am I being shorted?
You're being punished for giving them all the money up front.
Yeah, for paying up front. Right. For not wanting to pay. Because I don't know, maybe there's finance charges or something within the payment. So maybe that's why they justify it. Like, you might be paying this much interest with every payment. So we're going to give you the Game Pass for free, but I'm like, what's up with that, Xbox?
But alas, only for the, you know, the duration of the financing.
Just whatever the financing terms were. So if they're like, you buy the Xbox Series X for $4.99 plus tax and all that stuff, and you're financed, you know, you're paying $35 a month, what, you're probably paying for like a year and a half. I'm trying to think what the monthly payments would come out to be. You know, so times 10 was $350, so you're probably going to go a little bit longer than that, finance charges. So I would say, you know, for like a year and a half, if that's how long the finance terms are, you should be able to get the Game Pass for free.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree totally. And Valiant Summer in the chat saying that the Series S is not supposed to be as powerful as the X. Everything that they say it's not supposed to be able to do that the X does is all stuff that, like, I ain't got a 4K TV, so it doesn't need to be as sharp as as that.
You're like,
that.
I'm fine with 720i.
Right. And, yeah, you're supposed to have EA access, the Electronic Arts kind of streaming game service as well.
Yeah, they kind of rolled that into the Game Pass, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a separate service or if it's just those games that were on there will be available. But yeah, EA Access is all a part of the Game Pass now.
It made me pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes you think about it.
Ooh, maybe.
That's a lot of games.
Maybe I'll just go full digital on the Xbox on the next gen.
Because
that's a huge jump. You get, like I said, Game Pass. And
especially, like, let's say you're just into certain, a couple certain titles on the Xbox.
I think
you guys are both more like PlayStation guys. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to be more committed to getting the PS5 or whatever, but for, you know, $2.99, if I get the digital Xbox and maybe the games I want to play will be available on the Game Pass, well, bam. Now I got you paid the $2.99, I'm playing the games for free as I pay it off, and then, you know, that might be, worth your while to get one.
Well, James, I know you're super into Fall Guys.
Yeah.
Are you still? Well,
it's like a love-hate relationship.
Yeah,
the game is so much fun. There's so many things I love about the game. But once you start playing it, you get so frustrated that it's like just real easy to rage about when your little Fall Guy doesn't, your little jelly bean slides off the seesaws or gets booted.
Yeah, for sure. I've logged, the last time I logged in, I lost in round one and immediately shut it off.
It's so heartbreaking, too, because like, I can't get past the
first
round.
I'm not even a real gamer.
Stupid game.
This is also why I'm probably not going to get a Switch, because I still haven't even tried that game, and I think I could play for free.
Oh, yeah. You could have. I think you got to pay for it now. I think you missed your window.
No, I already added it to my library.
Oh, you did?
I always go on, like, whenever there's the PlayStation Plus adds a new game,
I got you.
Even if I'm not interested in it, I still add it to my library, because what harm does it,
No, absolutely.
So I do have it in my library.
Perfect.
I tend to look at something and think, am I ever going to play that? There have been games that I'm like, I am never, ever in my lifetime going to play that particular game. That is not a genre that I'm interested
I'll
in.
I'll still add it to my library.
That's funny.
But I don't know if you saw this, James, but apparently Fall Guys tweeted out that originally in testing, we talked a couple weeks ago about people cheating in Fall Guys.
Like, why would you cheat in Fall Guys?
Right.
Get over it.
You could see people that were cheating, and people were that were playing were taking advantage. Like, okay, my team's got a cheater on it, so I'm going to help the other team because F them. When they were testing Fall Guys, if you were tagged as a cheater, like they put together this system so that to see, you know, could you cheat at Fall Guys and how could you cheat and stuff. If you were tagged as a cheater, they sent you to a separate server that was nothing but people who cheated the game.
Oh, really? So it's just cheaters playing against each other?
Cheaters Island.
Cheaters Island. I like it. It could also be a reality TV show.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, they tweeted, if you pass the
threshold. I think it's a way better solution than banning someone.
Yeah.
Right. They said, if you pass the threshold, you were tagged as a cheater. It's worth pointing out at this stage, cheaters are very smart. And if they know they've been tagged, they'll work out what caused them to be tagged and then tell other cheaters to stop them from getting tagged. But cheaters would get caught and banished to this this Cheater Island. I would love watching a stream of Cheater Island.
Just
of Fall
cheaters,
Guys.
Yeah, just cheaters going against other cheaters. Heck yeah.
Why is everybody flying around like bullets so fast? Why are they jumping so high?
Right. Also, have you heard of this game Among Us?
It's like blown up over like the last week and a half or so.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know much about it other than it's like outer space, like you're in a spaceship.
It's completely overtaken Fall Guys on Twitch.
Okay.
As the
most viewed
game. And it's, yeah, you've got played these little guys. They look like the little jelly beans in Fall Guys, kind of, but a little bit simpler. It's a
they look like radioactive ones. Like they got the, almost like the suit Doc Brown would wear in Back to the Future, but the jelly bean version of that.
Yeah. So you play this game and it's this, I don't know how to describe it. You've got about, I think, 8 players and one of you is a spy on the spaceship and your job is to kill everybody else in the spaceship without getting caught. While everybody else is trying to do their
jobs. Different jobs and things.
To keep the spaceship running. So your job as the spy is to like sabotage stuff and push people out of airlocks and stuff. But if somebody sees you doing it, they obviously know that you're
the
bad guy.
You're the imposter or whatever.
Yeah.
And if everybody's looking for a rundown on a little more info on this game, Among Us.
Yeah.
Weirdbeard from Checkpoint XP put together like a nice little video. He's got a little series called Too Long, Didn't Read.
Yes.
I highly recommend you check it out. You can find it at CheckpointXP.com. It'll explain the game to you, and it might get you interested in it.
Yeah, there you go. And I looked it up on Steam, too. I think it's only like
$5.
It's
like cheap. It came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It came out 2 years ago, and it's like hugely popular right now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wild.
I feel like I've heard the title, but I didn't realize it was blowing up.
Well, I thought when I saw the title, I was like, oh, it must be one of those little scary games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Among Us? Oh, yeah. Diarrhea. The thing about trying to play it in the dark.
Yeah.
And then when I see what it was, I was like, oh, that looks like fun. I want to play that one.
Diarrhea in the dark. I don't want to play that game.
No. Nobody wants to play Diarrhea in the dark.
I've played the live version enough times.
Who's that football player? He might want to play Diarrhea in the dark.
Yeah, but that's right. It was Odell Beckham.
Yeah, Odell Beckham. He probably plays Diarrhea in the dark, but he's putting on a face mask.
I like to call that game, Was That Cat Puke?
Oh, I just no.
Stepped in? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Did I just step in cat puke in the dark, or is it worse? But yeah, the people who made this, it's a 3-person development team.
That's crazy.
Like you said, they made it like two years ago.
I hope they're making some cash.
Yeah, it's sitting on Steam, and now it's blowing up. But I'm interested in it, especially $5.
And like from what I've heard, like it's best to play with like with just a big group of friends. Like you'll have the most fun playing with people that you know. So you know how you can mess with your friends and like, things like that.
Yes.
You can still play with randos or whatever, but the best way to play it is with a group of friends.
And another thing, while we're talking about cheaters in online games, so Team Fortress 2 is almost like the grandfather of all these games that we play now, whether it's Call of Duty or, you know, Fall Guys or Realm Royale or something like that. Team Fortress 2 was one of the original let's go online and play team against team, capture the flag modes, different character classes and everything like that. Well, Team Fortress 2 still exists on the PC. You can still play a whole bunch of it. And apparently in the last year or so, a new type of bot has started showing up in Team Fortress 2 called the Extermination Bot Services. And you can tell they're cheaters and they're bots because they're always snipers and they're always looking up at the sky just around. But they are there specifically to find other cheaters.
Really?
And take them out of the game.
That's funny.
On one hand, because in Team Fortress 2, you can only have, I think, teams of like 5 against 5. So every bot that's in there cheating is taking one actual person out of your game. But the fact that somebody put together bots to look for other bots and eliminate them so that they will stop making the experience poorly.
It's like bot Terminators.
It is.
It is, yeah. Somebody made a T-1000 to take out the T-800s in Team Fortress 2.
Take them out.
Also, I know this will be up Al's alley because he absolutely loves playing Grand Theft Auto with his nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see a couple of weeks ago somebody...
Well, I'll answer your question now. No, I did not see it, but tell me about it now.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, somebody on Twitter tweeted out that their housemate just revealed to them for the past month they've been taking notes on all the things they say while they're playing Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, really?
And then turning them into poems.
Oh, my God. That's akin to the shit my dad says Twitter
it
account.
Is.
Yeah.
It is. Let me read you a few of them. One of them is, I don't know what's going on now. What am I doing? Ramming speed? F word. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Do I have a sticky bomb? Why am I sneaking?
Yeah. I love ramming speed in any conversation. I need to start working that in. Just Just ramming speed is amazing.
Oh, you're late for work today. Yeah. Well, I guess you weren't driving at ramming speed.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing that'd be hilarious to shout out if you're driving with someone else in the car. Yeah. Just prepare for ramming speed.
Ramming speed! Engage! We're going to ram them. What was that from? That was from something. Like, we're going to ram them.
I know. I can't remember. And ramming speed
is Roger Rabbit?
I can't remember.
I was going to say, isn't ramming... Or no, ramming speed isn't from Spaceballs. That's ludicrous speed.
Yes, yeah.
Well, there was one other one that I absolutely...
They've gone to plaid.
There's another one in here called the grenade refrain, and it goes like this. Let's throw some grenades because grenades are fun. I don't think that killed anyone, right? I'm going to grenade ya. If you're going to give me effing attitude, I'm going to grenade ya. This is anarchy. Why do these things keep happening to me?
Oh, I love it. That's brilliant. And no, I clearly had not seen that before.
Yeah, if you want to see the tweets and more of these fantastic poems, check out REB_day on Twitter. Absolutely hilarious Grand Theft Auto themed poems. All right, well, while we had the week off watching some streaming service stuff, did we talk about the new season of The Boys yet?
No.
Yeah. So it started a couple of weeks ago with 3 episodes, and now they're putting an episode out every Friday, much like The Mandalorian did, instead of giving us all of it at once.
I guess it's good that I've been waiting to watch it, because I've been watching the Umbrella Academy season 2, so I'm trying to get caught up on that before I start a new one.
Yeah.
I'll get the characters confused. I indulge in a little medicinal products before I sit down and watch my streaming services. So sometimes the characters will get kind of mixed up in my mind.
I'm just imagining James watching The Boys and going, where's number 5?
Yeah,
why is number 5 in here?
Why isn't number 5 here? And what is going on? I thought there was supposed to be a JFK assassination.
Right. Al, have you been checking out the new season of The Boys yet?
Not yet, no.
Ooh, you are going to have such a good time.
Am I?
Such a good time.
Excellent.
It's everything the first season was cranked up.
Nice.
Homelander is even scarier than he was before. Amy actually had said that now every scene that she sees Homelander in, your shoulders just go up and it's pure tension. And I'm like, yeah, I know. After reading the comics, it was like that the whole time. You just found out, you know, midway through season 1.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the character he plays in season 1, like, it's the duality of, like, his face to the public and what he's really like. You're like, oh, man, he is a sick mofo.
Yep. There's a new character called Stormfront that you find out in those first 3 seasons, or those first 3 episodes. She's kind of anti-establishment, and she's a social media influencer, and you find out at the end of the 3rd season, or the 3rd episode, what her malfunction is, essentially.
Okay.
And that's been pretty cool. Watching The Deep, the Aquaman analog in that show, watching his slow slide into depression and awfulness.
Is he still upset about that whole dolphin incident from the first season?
I think he's given up on the dolphin thing. Okay. Now he's just upset that they're absolutely replacing him in the 7 and that he's never, ever going to get back in the 7. And there's a spectacular scene where he's riding like a whale that you may have seen if you saw the trailers.
Okay.
It happens in one of the further ones, which is absolutely hilarious. Also, you guys remember Mike Pandolf. We had on the show quite a few times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is it just me, or does The Deep look just like Mike Pandolf?
Just like Mike Pandolf. I didn't realize it until Mike Pandolf posted that on his social media. I was like, oh my God, he is The Deep.
I was watching the new season, and I texted him. I was like, why don't you cosplay The Deep? For one thing, because I don't want to be that guy. But I was like, dude, you look like the actor, man.
Yeah.
He could totally do that.
We should do. We were parading around like, hey, we got The Deep from The Boys here.
Right.
Come get a picture. Ladies, be careful. He might ask you for some inappropriate things to take place.
He might. Also, last week, last Thursday, the sequel to The Babysitter dropped on Netflix. It's called The Babysitter Killer Queen. You might remember, I think I told you guys about this movie.
Was it a scary movie?
It's kind of a scary movie. It's directed by Mick G.
Okay.
Samara Weaving plays the babysitter, and she's babysitting this like 14-year-old kid, and she's like best friends with him, and he's kind of got a crush on her and everything, and he goes to bed, and then she has her friends over, and then they go about putting together this ritual to sacrifice him.
The little kid?
The little kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. And that's the first movie. He survives that and goes on to the second movie.
Poor kid. He's messed up for life now.
Yeah, and the friends that she invited over that met untimely demises in the first movie all come back from hell to get him. And it's a blast. I have never seen, I think I said this online to Killer Hall, I had never seen a movie that was so rewarding as far as from the first movie to the second movie. There's so many things in the second movie that's like, oh, that's just like in the first movie. Or, oh, that's a reference to this in the first movie. Oh, that's a character from the first movie. It was absolutely a lot of fun. Fantastic.
That's cool.
So especially with Halloween coming up, if you're looking for a spooky movie to watch, and it's fun too. It's less spooky and just kind of gory,
okay.
like over the top gore, like Army of Darkness style gore. So I would recommend that on the Netflix. I got a pile of comics in front of me, and we're going to get to that next.
All right.
Nerd Radio coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm Tom Savage, listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Nerd!
I know you're trying to hurt my feelings, Homer, but it doesn't matter. It's called Nerd Radio because we're taking it back. It's Nerd Radio on...
In that episode, he ends up befriending the nerds, by the way.
Yeah. Well, he's got to cheat off somebody and get his test scores up. It's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network on nerdradio101.com. You can follow us right there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can follow us on social media everywhere at nerdradio101. Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Al Beck and James with some more Nerd Radio here. And we had our second DC Fandome last weekend.
Oh, they did another one of those?
They did a second one of those, and I think you remember last time we talked about it, I was like, maybe they're waiting to talk about all the comic stuff at the second one. No. No, they just talked about more movie stuff, more of the television show stuff, like DC Doom Patrol is going to be hitting at HBO Max for season 3. And from the sounds of it, the news hasn't come out yet, but the DC Universe app, where all this stuff was originating, is going to shift to only the comics. Which I hope means that they're going to focus more on, you know, filling out some of those comics, because there are huge gaps in some of those.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Detective Comics has 1,000 issues.
Yeah.
In fact, this week is Detective 1027.
Wow.
$10 book.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I know that Marvel Unlimited, I felt, was better the first time I had it.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit not as good. I circled back around to it, but then you seemed to really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love it. Like, even the holes that are there aren't huge gaping holes. We talked about it, like a year ago or something like that, how I was really digging the New Mutants.
Sorry, huge gaping holes. Not a comic book vision in my mind.
Well, I think
cereal bowl.
I tried reading something on, I read Civil War on Marvel Unlimited, pulled that back up, right? And it had every issue except the second one.
Yeah.
And I'm not, just in case someone still wants to go read it, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a big, huge unmasking at the end of issue 2 in that. And so, like, if you read it just on Marvel Unlimited, you, like, you open the first page of the third issue, like, wait, what? How did that happen?
Just got to skip over it.
Yeah.
But while we're talking about DC, this weekend is also Batman Day, which means there'll be a specific, I don't remember what book will be at the comic stores this week for, or this weekend for Batman Day, but I did see when I was at the comic store earlier this week that they have Joker masks, like little, every year they have little cardboard masks that you can play. Sometimes it's a Batman mask, sometimes, I think last year it was Harley Quinn, this year it's like when the Joker got his face peeled off.
Oh yeah.
In the new 52, it's that version of the Joker mask that you can pick up at your comic store. And one of the things that DC decided to do for Batman Day this year is there's a Spotify Dark Knight themed playlist for Batman Day that has, like, most, it's mostly the...
Is it different Batman themes, or is it like music that makes you feel like you're Batman?
It's different Batman themes. It's
like,
it's
dark songs.
The one from the animated series, the one from the movie, all that stuff. But it's a lot. It's a huge playlist. And one of the other things they're doing, if you use Waze Drive...
Yes. Whose voice can we get?
You can get Batman as what is the guy from the animated series? Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
You can get Kevin Conroy as Batman to direct you as you drive, and you can get, there's another voice actor, Wally Wingert, as the Riddler. to do the same
very
thing.
Nice. Those are cool.
For Batman
That's
Day.
One thing I think is very cool about the Waze app. And it's just a GPS app.
Yeah.
But you get different voices. At one point in time, you could get Terry Crews. You could get C-3PO. You could get a pirate. Like,
oh, C-3PO would have been great.
It was very cool, man.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman would have been awesome.
Yeah. Oh,
that would have been a great directing me around. Also, while we're talking about Batman and Batman Day, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Radio Times website ranked every Batman.
Well, of course I saw it. That's my favorite website I go to all the time.
Right? So, yeah, they ranked every Batman, and the list is infuriating.
Oh, boy.
Because let me
nerds
start.
Nerds are upset, huh?
Let me start at the bottom of the list. I'm upset about it. I don't know about nerds, but the worst Batman on this list out of the eight they have is.
Well, what eight options do we have?
We've got Adam West.
Okay.
Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman the Animated Series, and Will Arnett from Lego Batman.
Lego Batman, okay.
Okay. Who do you think's at the very bottom of this list?
Very bottom, like the worst?
Yeah.
Would it be George Clooney?
It should be Clooney.
It is Clooney.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. Moving up from that, the next worst Batman out of the eight is Val Kilmer at number seven.
Okay. I'm okay with that so far.
Number six is Ben Affleck. Or wait, I'm sorry. Number six is Will Arnett.
Okay. I've never seen any of the Lego stuff, really, so I can't. I know I love Will Arnett.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know how he is as Batman.
I thought he was a real fun job. I thought it was funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, if you haven't seen the Lego Batman movie yet, absolutely see it.
Okay.
Because Bane in it is amazing.
Okay.
Absolutely
That's
amazing.
Good to know.
Is it an actual Lego Batman movie or is it just a Lego movie that he's in?
No, there's a Lego Batman movie.
I've never seen these.
Oh, it's so fantastic. Okay, yeah, it's a couple years old, but yeah, you definitely see it because it was hilarious. After Will Arnett, let's see, where are we at? Number six is Kevin Conroy. They don't actually have these in order, so I have to mentally put them in order. Mm.
Another cartoon voice. Okay.
Yep. Number five was Ben Affleck. So we're into the... Or number four is Ben Affleck. So we're into the top three now. Okay? Who do you think is number one before we get through this
left.
Top three?
You've we got Christian Bale left. Who else?
Michael Keaton.
And Adam West.
Adam West.
Oh, this is a tough choice. I think it's going to be Michael Keaton or Christian Bale at number one.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton's going to go number one. I think it's going to be 1, 2, 3 will probably be Keaton, Adam West, and then Bale is my guess.
Because if you're asking me who's the best on-screen Batman, Michael Keaton, hands down, no doubt. I'd probably put Adam West and then Christian Bale. Number three, Michael Keaton.
Wow.
Number two, Adam West, and number one with 42% of the vote was Christian Bale.
I thought Christian Bale was amazing, and this may be controversial. Adam West gets a huge boost from being, like you call them, the OG.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't have Adam West Batman, it really wouldn't hurt my feelings that much.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't be
you know what I mean?
Either.
Like, that's why I knew, like, I didn't think he was going to get the number one spot, but I think, out of respect, he was going to get the number two
Better
spot.
Respect the OG. Yep.
I mean, like, for me, I would probably go Keaton and then Christian Bale at number two. But, like, I don't know, man. Adam West gets some bonus points.
Well, Adam West is an iconic Batman for a specific moment in time.
Yes.
If you look at the Batman comics.
But he does bat with a handicap.
Yeah, if you look at the Batman comics of, like, the 50s, that is the Batman he is playing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Whereas these, you know, later Batman are absolutely playing their kind of generations where they're translating that version from the comics.
Absolutely. Plus, I feel like there wouldn't be any of these Batman movies or that stuff if Adam West did not play the role of Batman.
Yeah.
I guess anybody could have played the role of Batman and they still probably would have launched off.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wouldn't have been as successful when it came out if you would have had the people in it that you had doing what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just like, how is Michael Keaton number three?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I got it's nothing against Adam West, especially since he's no longer with us. But you know, I'm not that big of a fan of that style of Batman. I like the dark.
God, Adam West passed away.
The dark, Dark Knight is what I like. You know what I mean? And you know, so yeah,
yeah. I told you guys a couple weeks ago about how DC's downsizing, and one of the books that is on the, not on the chopping block, it's gone. It's you know, on its last couple of issues is one of my books that I've been collecting, John Constantine's Hellblazer.
Yep.
you guys know I'm a big fan of John Constantine. At first, when I heard that they were canceling, I was like, eh, okay. I'm not surprised, but I'm not really sad about it. But I've been catching up with the issues now, and now that I'm within like an issue or two of it being over, I'm actually really bummed.
Who's writing that?
Right now it's being written by Simon Spurrier.
Okay.
Drawn by Aaron Campbell. And the story, which has been going throughout, it's only going to be like 10 or 11 or 12 issues when it's all over. But the story that's going through is that an older version of John Constantine saved the current version, or has come back in time and like saved the version of John Constantine that exists now. And the older version is actually the villain of this one. So he ends up, you know, becoming a bad person and has been going around London and making these things that don't exist actually exist. Like there's a two-issue story. This particular issue that I've got here was a two-issue story where a guy that works down at the fish market at the docks comes across the mermaid and befriends the mermaid and gets her to make it so that he's the one catching all the fish and making all the money, and everybody else that works there is so, you know, it kind of corrupts him.
I could encounter a mermaid and have her do stuff for me.
Right. And then this particular one here.
No, you want to encounter Aquaman.
Yeah, well, that would work too. I mean, he gets horses around. So.
Yeah.
In issue 9, the older John Constantine meets up with one of the royal family who's really into betting horses and gives him the seed of unicorns to have impregnate a horse with, because the unicorn will be faster than any of the other horses.
Wait a second. You're reading a comic book that has unicorn sperm in it.
Yes.
Why did I not know this story even existed?
I was going to say, why didn't you buy these for James?
Yeah. Give me that breeder's phone number.
Yeah, no, I'll have to get you another copy.
I need that stud.
Yeah. But
for my own.
A couple of really great John Constantine stories, because it's one of those things. Al knows, because you're a huge Green Lantern fan, and there are certain people that really write the Green Lantern you want to read. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there are other people who absolutely just don't get it.
Son of a bitch, you like bringing that up, don't you?
Well, I'm bringing it up because Simon Spurrier really has nailed the John Constantine character. He's mm-hmm. really done a good job of writing him, whereas there have been other writers in the past where I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to pick up the book anymore until this guy's gone, because he's not writing down the way I like him.
You like that character, so you'll come back. But right. You got writers like, you know, you bring up constantly. Matt Fraction
sure.
made you a Hawkeye fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I take a minute to rant and rave about my X-Men books?
Always.
Because I love them so much. I've got three of them in front of me here. They're not the main X-Men books. They're kind of the offshoots. But they're doing so many interesting things all throughout the line that I just realized. One of them is the Marauders book, which has Kitty Pryde in it. And the ongoing story has been that out of all the mutants that can use the gates to get to the Krakoa Island, because the gates will only allow mutants through, Kitty can't use one, and they can't figure out why. Mm. And they finally revealed what was going on and why that was. But Kitty is also a character that has had some gay undertones
okay. mm-hmm.
since the 80s. In fact, the original, the writer from the 70s and 80s, Chris Claremont, has come out officially and said that Kitty had a girlfriend, as far as he was concerned, but it was the 80s, so you really couldn't put that in the comics.
Sure, yeah.
But there was, and in this particular issue, she actually, Marauders number 12, she actually shares her first on-screen lesbian kiss with somebody.
Hot.
Yeah, so like it went from being subtext to full-on text.
Sure.
In this particular book, and that's kind of interesting and fun that, you know, we finally hit a point in 2020 where we can, like, you know what? Let her be gay.
Yeah.
This is fine.
Kitty Pryde finally getting her kitty some FaceTime.
One of the other books.
Some FaceTime.
Is that what we're calling like it these days?
I mean, in a radio friendly way, I think it's a good way to describe what's going on with Miss Kitty Pryde.
Well, that's
going to
do it for Nerd Radio this week.
Yeah. One of the other books that I'm super into is the current New Mutants book. And the latest issue, they've been fighting against essentially a bunch of online trolls
uh-huh.
that have set up this website called Docs,
mm-hmm.
which, as you can see in the info page in this particular one, if you're watching us on the Twitch stream, just reports where the Krakoan gates are, who's coming and going through them. So they're essentially doxing mutants in the form of what it's, you know, referred to online.
So if you're not a mutant and trying to go through these gates, what happens? Is it like that movie? Is it The Neverending Story? Where they try to go through the gates and they get zapped by those angels' eyes.
Yeah, no, that's the Neverending Story. Nope, you just walk through it and nothing happens. You just walk out of the other side and you're still where you are.
Oh, okay.
They're not looking to murder anybody for trying to get to Krakoa. The way they took care of the Doc's website in this, they went to their headquarters and put a virus in their website. So now whenever anybody reports a mutant going through a thing, it immediately gives their address, their full legal name, their age, and, you know, like, so you can't successfully dox a mutant without doxing yourself. Mm. And the last one I wanted to talk about is X-Factor, which just restarted. This book is about, we've talked about before how now on Krakoa, when a mutant dies, they can resurrect them.
Yeah.
Well, X-Factor is now an investigative team that makes sure that somebody's dead so they don't, like, resurrect them, and then now there's two of them.
Ooh,
kind of thing. Wow. So when a mutant dies in the Marvel Universe now, X-Factor goes and investigates, how did they die? Is it something we need to, you know, did somebody kill them? Is it something we need to go into legal action for? And, you know, can we make sure that they're resurrected on time? But the recent X-Factor book is actually taking place in the Mojoverse, which, James, were you?
He's the guy, like, with the robot leg.
Yeah.
He's like a big fat, like, almost looks like a troll with bad hair.
He's a
and
big,
weird, like,
big yellow, big yellow guy with the spider legs.
You fight him in that one stage on the Sega Genesis X-Men game.
Exactly.
That once you even kill him, there's some other secret you have to do to actually beat the level.
Yep.
Because I couldn't figure that part out.
Yeah, so the Mojoverse has existed since the 80s. Chris Claremont created it, and Longshot comes from the Mojoverse. Shatterstar from X-Force all come from the Mojoverse. And it's always been a metaphor for the entertainment industry.
Okay.
And as of the new book, the new X-Factor book, it has shifted to a metaphor for online streaming and being influencers and all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting how well they could take that thing and shift it into a different metaphor, and it absolutely works.
Interesting.
Now they're all about subscribers and paywalls and all this other stuff.
Really?
And it's really fun. But yeah, they're doing some great stuff. They're heading into their first big crossover in about a couple of weeks called Ten of Swords, where it's like the crossovers always were in the comics, where you have to pick up all the books because chapter one is an X-Men, but chapter two is an X-Factor, and chapter three is an X-Force kind of thing. And that's going to be going on in a couple of weeks, but I can't wait.
Cool.
I'm already picking all of them up anyways. Just love them. I love my X-Men books.
Well, that's good, because you also have gone through periods of time where you were just like, oh, God, they're torturing me with these X-Men books.
Yeah. But as always, I encourage you guys, find comics that you enjoy. Go on comicshoplocator.com, especially this weekend with Batman Day going on. You can check some stuff out. You can find, James, you can find where you can get your unicorn semen.
Yes.
Hellblazer book.
I got to get that issue so I know where to send in the self-addressed stamped envelope to get my unicorn semen.
And no unicorn spunk involved, but you can always
You'll have to set up a pull list for him at the shop.
Yeah. Just for,
or maybe it'll be a tug list. I don't know.
Anything that involves unicorn semen, put it on the tug list.
How long were you?
Put it on the tug list.
Did you just think of that?
Yeah.
Was that spontaneous, or did you think of that and you're like, I can't wait to put this one out there?
Well, you'll never know.
As always, I encourage you guys to follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Al, where can people find the podcast?
Nerdradio101.com. Of course, that's the easy way.
Right.
But hey, you know what? We're being carried by WRAF.com in Detroit. Also, Rock929Rocks.com in Boston. And down in Fort Myers, Florida on 96KRock.com. All three of those stations have mobile apps, too, so you can pull the podcast up and listen right there on your phone.
And if you've heard enough of my voice, but you want more James, you're part of the Checkpoint XP crew. Where can people find that?
Yeah, find out if we're airing in a market near you over at CheckpointXP.com.
All right, we'll be back with more Nerd Radio next week. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you rate and review us on the Apple Podcast. I noticed the other day that we're under the automotive label, so I'm going to have to see if I can get that fixed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's people tuning in to find out how to fix their cars and just listening to us talk about dongers and video games.
We got these guys that are real car nerds, I guess. We got to check out this podcast.
Oh, they're talking about wieners and comic book superheroes.
Yeah. I'll get frustrated changing out a wiper blade, so this is not that's not that kind of show.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend! See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
My button to make eye contact with somebody. Yeah. That's kind of weird. So then I just sat and kind of waited until.
Yeah, see, you're taller than I am. I don't have that issue. I'm not going up over the.
When I stand up.
I'm not over the rim.
It's pretty much my I'm like Wilson from Home Improvement.
Yeah, what's worse, though? Like that fact that people. At that moment, discover firsthand that you're a standing wiper,
right.
Or they might think you're just staring at them from inside the stall.
Why is James watching me wash my hands vigorously to get rid of this COVID-19?
Yeah, because like the placement of the screens, I'm getting that view right now. I just see your nose up.
Yeah, so now just picture being in a bathroom, the aromas that go along with that thing.
You're just clam baking in turds and watching people wash their hands.
I'll never be able to watch Home Improvement the same ever again. Every time I see Wilson, I'll think to myself, he's in his backyard just wiping.
Yeah, it's no joke. I'm like the poop version. I'm like the men's room version of Wilson from Home Improvement.
You're just as wise.
I don't know if I'm as wise.
If you're ever in the bathroom and you see James giving you the Wilson over the stall, just ask him for advice.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'll give you some sage advice.
Yeah, you know the saddest part about this conversation is we still can't even say that we're the number one jokes.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Nope, we're not. No. We can't even take that crown.
You know what? You got to practice, though. You can't just start at number one. You got to practice your poop jokes.
Yeah.
So you can get there.
It's practice. So I get to Carnegie Hall, too, I hear.
Yeah. You can stand and wipe in Carnegie Hall. That's the title of this week's podcast.
Stand and wipe in Carnegie Hall.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.